you stand with me, we'll read from the scripture tonight. In Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Amen. You may be seated. And last Thursday, we talked about the Emperor Domitianus and the persecution that he brought on the Christians. He was succeeded by the Emperor Nerva, and the Christians enjoyed a respite from persecution during his reign. However, he only reigned 13 months. And then he was succeeded by a man named Trajan. And in the 10th year of Trajan's reign, he began a great persecution again on the Christians. And there was a philosopher named Plinius that wrote to the emperor on behalf of the Christians on behalf of letting up the persecution on the Christians, for which the emperor made a proclamation that Christians ought not be sought after, but when brought before the magistracy, they should be punished. The reply to that was, he said, "Oh, confused sentence. He would not have them sought after as innocent men, yet would have them punished as guilty." His officers were uncertain exactly how to carry this out, as they weren't to seek after the Christians, yet they were to bring the Christians before the magistrate to be tried for their beliefs. And it caused other things to take place in order to bring them before the magistrate. But then Trajan made a proclamation, and he wrote to Jerusalem, to the Roman that was in charge there, and said that all the stock of David should be killed. And so they began to, anyone they could find of that race was put to death. And it kind of makes you to begin to think, you know, that now the Israelis don't always know what, they don't really know what tribes they came from. And maybe perhaps that it was these emperors going after the stock of David that got them to stop proclaiming what tribes they were of, and in over the years it got lost whose tribe was who. And Trajan also commanded that Ignatius be killed. Ignatius is said to have been the infant that Christ held in his arms and gave example to the disciples on humility and innocence. And then he was converted then by St. John, and became a very devout Christian. But he was brought before the emperor, and he boldly vindicated his faith in Jesus Christ before the emperor, which enraged Trajan, and so he cast him into prison, where he was tormented in very cruel manners. First, he was scourged. You know, when I told you before, it means whipped. Then they took and made him hold hot fire in his hands. And while he was doing that, they would take strips of paper soaked in oil and put them on the sides of his body and light him on fire. Then they took hot pinchers that had been heated up in a fire and they tore his skin off. And then at last, they threw him to some wild beasts for them to finish him off. He had some perhaps present of mind that this was going to happen to him. And before it happened to him, he wrote to Polycarp. And you're familiar with Brother Bam talking about Polycarp. But he wrote to Polycarp, and I'll just read you what he wrote. He said, "From Syria even until I came to Rome, I had battled with beasts as well by sea and land, both day and night, being bound in the midst of cruel legion of soldiers who, the more benefits they received at my hands, behaved so much more the worse unto me. But being now well acquainted with their injuries, I am taught every day more and more, and would to God I were once come to the beasts which are prepared for me, which also I wish with gaping mouths are ready to come upon me, whom also I will provoke that they without delay may devour me. If they will not, unless they be provoked, I will then enforce them against myself. Now begin I to be a scholar. I esteem no visible things, yet invisible things, so that I may get or obtain Christ Jesus. Let the fire, the gallows, the wild beasts, the breaking of bones, the pulling asunder of members, the bruising of my whole body, and the torments of the devil and of hell itself come upon me, so that I may win Christ Jesus." So he wrote this before he was thrown into prison. So they said he must have had some presentiment that what was going to happen to him. The Emperor Trajan was succeeded by a man named Adrian, and he continued the persecution against the Christians. And there was a bishop in Pontus named Phocas who was ordered to sacrifice to the god Neptune. And he refused to do it. And he was immediately by order, he was cast into a hot kiln of lime. And then being drawn from there, he was thrown into a scalding bath until he expired. Here's one that we've talked so much about, the men, and that was wrote of and so forth. But here is a widow, Symphorosa. She was a widow, but she had seven sons. And she taught her sons the ways of Christ. And she, along with her sons, were commanded to sacrifice to some heathen deities. And they, of course, refused to do so. And so they took and hung her by her hair and whipped her while she was hung by her hair. Then they took and tied stones around her neck and threw her in the river. Her first son, her eldest son, was stabbed in the throat. They tied all of them to seven posts and then went from one to the other. They stabbed the eldest in the throat. The second they stabbed in the breast. The third in the heart. The fourth one they stabbed in the navel. The fifth one they stabbed in the back. The sixth they stabbed in his side. And the youngest they sawed him asunder. That says a lot for this mother, how she must have taught her sons the faith of Jesus Christ to a place where they could withstand these things and their faith hold strong because of their mother and teaching them. There was a pastor in Rome by the name of Alexander. They took and killed him and his two deacons. And then there was, if I can say this name right, Quirinius and Hermes. They took and not only killed these two, but they took their entire families and killed their entire families along with them. There was a Roman nobleman. See, a lot of times you think that who all these Christians were, and you don't think perhaps that any of the Romans were Christians. But there were some of the Romans that were converted to Christianity. And this was a Roman nobleman by the name of Zenon. And he was killed, crucified, along with 10,000 other Christians. And they crucified them and crowned each one of them with thorns and run spears into their side to imitate the crucifixion of Christ. In other words, if you're going to believe in him, you're going to die like him. There was another Roman who was a commander of the armies, and he was a successful commander and had many victories, but he was converted to Christianity. And then by the emperor, to honor him and his victories, wanted him to sacrifice to these gods of Rome. And he, in the face of the emperor, he refused to do it because he believed in Jesus Christ. So the emperor was so enraged that he refused to do this that he totally just forgot about anything the commander had done for him. And he ordered him and his entire family killed. And so they slayed every one of them, including his family. There was two brothers, Faustines and Jovita. They were brothers, and they were tormented over a period of time, tortured. And they withstood their torture and would not renounce their faith to such a degree that a pagan by the name of Calisiris, beholding this, proclaimed that he wanted to be a Christian. And he proclaimed this right in the face of the emperor. So he was in such admiration of these men that they wouldn't renounce their faith. And he cried in front of the emperor, he cried, "Great is the God of the Christians." And he was then taken and put to death because of what he said. And so he didn't get to live long as a Christian, but he was converted over watching these men not renounce their faith. You don't know sometimes the things that you do as a Christian, your actions, how it affects other people. Some of you, I'm sure, over the years, at your maybe at places where you work, people begin to know you're a Christian, begin to kind of watch your conduct and so forth. They get into a need, somebody's sick or whatever, they say, hey, would you pray for me? Would you have your church pray for me? The emperor continued his cruelties and tortures and being put to death of the Christians being put to death until another man that was a bishop in Athens made a learned apology on behalf of the Christians to the emperor. And he wrote, and it caused Adrian to relax his severities against the Christians. However, he went so far to command that no Christian should be punished on the score of religion or opinion only. But this gave occasion to Jews and pagans to begin to bring false witnesses against the Christians. Because you remember, we see a persecution of the Jews, but the Jews were against the Christians too. And so they would make up false witnesses to accuse the Christians of crimes so that they could be put to death. There is another woman, Anthea is her name, and she was a godly woman and taught. She had a son, and she taught him in the ways of Christ, and then she committed him to a pastor in Rome to continue to bring him up in the doctrines of Christianity. And afterwards, he became a pastor. And then him and his mother were apprehended as Christians, and they were beheaded together. There was a man named Justice, and it was two brothers. One was named Justice, the other was named Pastor. And they actually, in Spain, is where they found their end. They were killed in Spain for their beliefs. Adrian reigned, they said, into the year of 138. And he was succeeded by a man named Antoninus Pius, who was such an admirable monarch that he was given the title of Father of Virtues. And he immediately, to his ascension to the throne, he published an edict forbidding further persecution of the Christians and concluded in these words, if any hereafter shall vex or trouble the Christians, having no other cause but to say but that they are such, let the accused be released and the accusers be punished. So this stopped the persecutions of this, which was considered the third wave of persecutions of the Christians. So it stopped that third wave. And they rejoiced during that emperor's reign. The Christians enjoyed a respite from their persecutions. However, they had many enemies still, and of Jews and pagans, and which they sought to do injury to the Christians any way they could at any time they could. So even though there was no persecution coming from the monarchy, they were still being persecuted from others that didn't agree with their beliefs of Christianity, because they... pagans, which were idol worshipers, would persecute them, would try to bring injury against them, do them harm, be spiteful to them, whatever. You ever lived around somebody that just for some reason knew you was a Christian and just didn't like it and that, and would just do spiteful things just to spite you? Or ever work with somebody like that? that's the way they were, that's the way these Christians were living then. And of course, the Jews, they didn't like the Christians either. And so, but they were enjoyed a respite from the monarchy persecution for a time. Studying through these things has really been something for me, and I'm not even finished yet. I've got more to go, more studies in this, but seeing how that each one of these stood in their faith and hearing the different ways that they were put to death, the things they endured, punishment, torture, torment, and yet they rejected deliverance. See, they could have been delivered if they had just renounced Christ. But they rejected deliverance to stand for their faith. And it makes you think, you know, that they weren't ashamed of what they believed. And we don't have, at this time, we don't have the persecutions that they had. We're sometimes persecuted in other ways. I think if some in the government had their ways, we might start a Christian persecution again. And if the Muslims had their ways, it would be a persecution of Christians too. But we don't suffer persecution that way, but we are, from time to time, we are tried on whether we'll stand for our faith or not, and not be ashamed of what we believe. And I think about Will and Lisa and that being in high school, and how that they could be looked at for holding to their faith of being a Christian and standing the way they do. And I know it's hard because you dress different. It's hard because, you know, the girls, they dress different. They don't cut their hair and they don't wear makeup and all these things. And yet all these people at school do. So they, you know, keep them in prayer. It's from experience, it's a little bit easier for boys to go through high school than it is girls. And there's just, because with the girls, there's just so much that people can see that they're different. And but to stand in the face of that for what you believe, and that's commendable. Amen. Continue to remember Brother Phil in your prayers. He was homesick from work today, and that's why he didn't make it tonight. And remember, you know, one another in prayer. And pray for the service coming up on Sunday. Continue to pray for Brother Todd. And Brother Todd said he'd see us on Sunday, so, but just keep him in prayer too. And amen. Let's stand.